It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
America.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 22nd day of March 2023. This is The Horn, headon.live. It's where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. In the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between and the Great Globe Round. And if you pop in there right now, you'll be greeted by the early arrivers, Anatole and Squeaky and Theo. Theo, stop getting in trouble with the Facebook algorithms. It's not nice. capably moderating this prayer meeting Wednesday, at least for the moment, is Horn, chief mathematician and chief agronomist and bud trimmer emeritus, Roger in Oregon. Roger, in fact, says he may be away a little bit during the show because he's picking up 2 yards of dirt so that I can be a bud trimmer again in the fall. And then you won't be emeritus anymore. You'll be an active practitioner of the fine art of bud trimming. Mm-hmm. Hey, y'all. And there's Irish Dave popping in. Good evening. Good afternoon. If you're listening to the podcast... I'm getting better at this. Thanks, Brother Deacon. Ace is so happy. If you're listening to the podcast, please feel free to like and subscribe and comment on whatever platform you're listening on. We appreciate it greatly. Over on TuneIn, hit that little heart button, and maybe at some point we'll get all the way to 1,000 folks listening on TuneIn alone. I love that idea. But as I said, it is prayer meeting Wednesday, and, well, we got a little bit of prayer meeting stuff. But every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So as a consequence of that, thanks go out to our 22nd day of the month subscribers. That means thank you so much to Colin, and thank you to Felicia out in the sunny San Diego area. Thank you so very much indeed. And thanks as well to Cecilia jumping in. And let's see, so that means we actually finished off with the overnight crew. We finished off Matt's Bitch Better Have My Money challenge, which is great news. And that leaves us with a fundraising goal of, what was it? I think I told Brother Deacon Asa last night. Or maybe I didn't. Yeah, okay. $820. $820 to go to catch up with fundraising. There's only one more show after this evening for quite some time. Again, program note, I know you're sick of hearing it, but if I don't do this, somebody who isn't, I will be gone as of Friday. I will be gone the 24th, And I will not, and I'll be gone the 27th, 28th, 29th, and probably the 30th. We'll have a Friday on the front porch on the last day of March, the 31st. Hopefully it will be, I've got a ton of meeting requests out for D.C. Hopefully I'll get nibbles on some of them. I'd like to get nibbles on all of them, but then I'd be there a lot longer. You have to send out a bunch in order to get a handful. That's usually how it works. But I'll be gone those days and hopefully come back with success stories to share with you. And, of course, the 26th, I'll be on the road the 24th and the 25th, and on the 26th, I'll be in Princeton, New Jersey for the Princeton Environmental Film Festival and the screening of Devil Put the Coal in the Ground, which I have not been able to find out if that's viewable through the Princeton Environmental Film Festival's web presence. I hope it is. If you want to check out on your own, feel free. And in the meantime, it's going to be, I think it's going to be a wonderful day, and I'm looking forward to talking more about what mountaintop removal does to Central Appalachia, to the topography, the ecology, but most of all to the people who have to live with it. So that's the plan. I said we'd have a little bit of prayer meeting Wednesday stuff, and we do. I found an article that I thought quite interesting over at BuzzFeed. Someone started asking questions of people who had left religion. And the stories are, wow. The first story listed says, my ex-husband cheated and got another woman pregnant. He expected me to raise the baby because she wanted an abortion and he didn't believe in it. So did he believe in not committing adultery and fornicate? Never mind. So he had this plan all worked out, except I wouldn't play along. I went to seek an annulment from the church, and the priest I spoke with basically told me to look inward to discover the root of his infidelity. Translation, it's my fault he cheated, and to turn the other cheek, or as Jesus taught us, translation, let it continue. I divorced him and the church. And then there's the filthy lucre aspect of it. Another individual said, I was raised Latter-day Saint, and I remember speaking to my young women's leader. Do they call those handmaids? And we were talking about the importance of tithe, the 10% of your paycheck you're supposed to give to the church. I'll never forget when she told me, God will forgive you for murder. He won't forgive you for not paying tithe. Yeah. And the damage that's done, it's done to children, it's done to women, because it's all patriarchal, of course. In middle school, I went to a Southern Baptist private school. It was drilled into my head that women needed to cover up and be modest, and that my job in life would be to marry a Christian boy and have Christian babies. I was a double D by the time I was a freshman in high school, and boys started to notice and make comments. When I complained to my teachers, I was told I needed to wear baggy clothes, which I did. Started wearing black or neutral tones to fade into the background, participated less in class so people wouldn't look at me. It all came to a head my junior year in high school when I was sexually assaulted at church in a bathroom by the pastor's son, who I also went to school with. The pastor blamed me. I was done with religion that day, and so were my parents. It screwed up my head for years. Jesus. And then, as the saying goes, there's no love like Christian hate. My father, a seriously devout Catholic, succumbed to a terminal neurological illness. He spent the last 14 years of his life slowly dying in a nursing home. Once he went into the nursing home, our church abandoned him. He received no visitation from the parish priest, no administering of the sacraments, not even a friendly visit just to say hello. As a child, I would go to the rectory and beg the fathers to visit my dad and give him some spiritual comfort. They never went. I stopped believing, because remember, like, for instance, the name Southern Baptist Church. It's the Southern Baptist Church because they split from the regular Baptists over issues of people of color being able to go to their nice white churches. I stopped believing when the Sunday school teacher couldn't tell me why all colors of children were loved by Jesus, but once they became adults, she referred to them with racial slurs. I wasn't welcome in her class after that. And then there's the learn the hard way example. I left the church after multiple deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan. I saw that the people we were fighting there did it because their God told them they had a duty to. I saw things happen that no human should even have to imagine. And people in the U.S. told me it was okay because the Christian God said they were going to hell anyway. I can't fathom why any sane person would subscribe to any religion that has these kinds of beliefs. It sickens me. And this goes on and on and on. My church community was very welcoming towards me, and I looked up to the older women who told stories of the great work they did on years of mission trips. One day a woman told me about how she spent almost 30 years doing ex-gay conversion therapy in New York. I was devastated. Many of my friends are part of the LGBTQ community. I was dumbstruck that my church, which had been so open and inviting, would be involved in such a horrible practice. I went on to explain that they weren't helping people, but were really abusing and torturing innocent people in the name of their God. I walked out of that church that day, and I never looked back. Good God. This thing is longer than some it's longer than some articles in the New York Times or the Washington Post. I was young and remember thinking that the Noah's Ark story made no sense to me. I realized the story was God throwing a temper tantrum because the creation he gave free will to didn't make the right decisions. And he murders everyone to start over? Seems like overkill. Yeah, that Jehovah, he seems nice. And thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs has done some looking around, and she has found the Princeton Environmental Film Festival, https://watch.eventive.org/PEFF. watch.eventive.org/PEFF. So, if you need to play that back, jot it down. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you so very much. I'm waiting to see if it's going to load. Internet's been a little weird here today. I should probably mention that. If the program should suddenly disappear, it's because the internet's been kind of weird today. Been a lot weird today. But, you know, being Wednesdays, I like to the website did finally load. The online viewing of Devil Put the Coal in the Ground will be viewable on Monday, March the 27th. So the day after it screens in Princeton, it'll be available for viewing online. I hope you can check it out. And by the way, I've been doing, like I said, you know, doing the like and subscribe thing. And I wanted to offer up some thanks for a recent comment. It really touched me. Let me see if I can pull that up here. Anyway, stand by while I try to. Because in addition to helping with the algorithms, they also, well, some of it, they're really nice. These are great. True Blue Digit. Hello. Yes. Robin is probably the smartest, funniest, and most articulate, and that's where it cuts me off. Doggone it. I'm not very good at, and then love the show. Thank you. Best news and general affairs program around, conducted with skill and flair, and how do I see the rest of them? Oh, maybe if I go to the manage button. No, that's not it. But anyway, thank you. Thank you so very much for the kind words. It means a lot. And this is a live broadcast, but it's a lot different from say theater, because you can't, you know, hear or see the audience. And so your feedback means an awful lot. Now on to the news of the day. Oh dear. Yeah, let's why not? Let's start here in almost level West Baikal, Manchinistan, where the former state police superintendent, a guy named Jan Cahill, quit his job Monday morning. And, well, the reason that he quit his job is because, he didn't like the fact that he found out he was under investigation until he was really, really under investigation. And this is gross. This is perverted. This is sick. I should note that Jan Cahill is neither LGBT or Q. He's not a drag queen. No, he's just a good, straight, white, male, Christian pervert. So he actually gave an interview today to a full-grown man who still calls himself Hoppy. And what happened was Eyewitness News received, that's one, Team Eyewitness Action News coverage, whatever. Eyewitness News got a letter about 7 months ago. It was anonymous. The person said they worked for the state police. And just a little reminder here, because some of y'all already know this, but everybody may not. Once upon a time in West Virginia, there were these things called mine guards, also known as Baldwin thugs. Thugs, generally. They were detectives who were hired as kneecappers and strike breakers to prevent workers from organizing and standing up and demanding that they be treated as human beings. Eventually, mine guards detectives, whatever, were outlawed. And when they were, the out-of-work thugs were brought on to staff the newly created institution called the West Virginia State Police. And so Jan Cahill says, the next morning I called Governor Justice, and I was about as stern as you can be in my position with the governor of a state about, why are we in the dark on this? What are they talking about? Because he didn't know about the investigation. Well, in the anonymous letter was an allegation that a video camera had been placed in the women's locker room at the West Virginia State Police Academy and was put there supposedly by a now dead trooper. When he died in 2018, as other troopers were going through his shit, they found a flash drive with video on it. And yes, it had, according to Cahill, a woman in it, and that a trooper destroyed the flash drive.
It absolutely destructed the thumb drive, yes, evidence, but I think looking back, and I wasn't there, I didn't know if they did it in disgust to protect this lady. I just don't know. It was a conundrum, as you can see. What do you do with this? I'm finding out about this 5 years after it occurred.
Then there was another video that came out yesterday with a West Virginia State Police captain sort of collecting $700 out of a chair and pocketing it. And again, Cahill had an excuse.
Doesn't matter how egregious an act as a person does right in front of us. All we can do is put someone on administrative leave, perhaps without pay, do an investigation, then I can say this person's terminated, and then they still have 10 days to view the actions again.
Then, well, Berkeley County, West Virginia, last month, a man died in state police custody.
It's still under investigation. The video was not great at all from the body cam, but the audio concerned me right off the bat. The commands, the screaming, and all I can say is, to the end result was, while taking a guy into custody, he was unresponsive, and they were not successful in bringing him back.
And then Cahill called himself a fall guy, and that he didn't get along with the Homeland Security Cabinet Secretary. And he tried to get the governor to get the secretary to resign.
I said, you need his resignation. You can say, why? Why act like I'm the fall guy? I think this just turned into a feeding frenzy by him and Brian Abraham.
Mm-hmm. And Brian Abraham, by the way, is the chief of staff for Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice. He, on the other hand, said, in our dealings with Colonel Cahill, his recent exposés in the media, you see everything. I don't want to say being candy-coated, but everything has an explanation. Everything's not as bad as it seems. He today continues to maintain that if he'd gotten that letter, that it was sensationalized when some of those things are true. Jesus. I think it is perverted. Perversion takes multiple forms. Perversion of justice. Perversion in covering up sexual perversion. This is just Well, West Virginia tax dollars at work, y'all. I don't think this is quite the feeding frenzy they think it is. By the way, well, I can't say I'm upset, because I'm not. Shit's just getting worse and worse and worse at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. And now, one of the witnesses, a news producer at Fox, Abby Grossberg, she dropped a rock on Fox News' defense in the Dominion Voting Systems case. And it's one of those things where it's bad for the lawyers too. Among other things, Ms. Grossberg said that over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, it's nothing to just hear rampant anti-Semitism and sexist conduct, and that it's the suits, it's the mucky mucks who are doing it. And among other things, Abby Grossberg also said that lawyers for Fox connived her into lying in a deposition. Over at CNN, Oliver Darcy is a media reporter and reported Abby Grossberg is accusing the network's legal team of intimidation while they prepared her for a deposition. What's she alleging? She's saying when she was talking to these attorneys before she went in for the deposition that they manipulated her into giving testimony that wasn't accurate. And stating the obvious, Darcy said, this is more legal trouble for Fox News. This producer is saying she was basically bullied and intimidated and coerced into giving misleading testimony. It says Fox News attorneys acted as agents and at the behest of Fox News to misleadingly coach, manipulate, and coerce Ms. Grossberg to deliver shaded and or incomplete answers during her sworn deposition testimony, which answers were clearly to her reputational detriment but greatly benefited Fox News. God, I hope it doesn't hurt too little. She had a lot to say. Nick Confessori, who is a reporter for the New York Times, showed up on MSNBC's Deadline White House with Nicole Wallace. And went deep. I said, not Nicole Wallace, Ari Melber. But wow.
And Nick, the other half of this new Fox lawsuit is what it reveals about what Grossberg called a toxic workplace culture. Let me read some of what she is alleging here. And this is from your piece in the New York Times from earlier today. Quote, last year, Grossberg began working as a senior booking producer at Tucker Carlson Tonight on her first full day, according to the lawsuit. She discovered that the show's Manhattan workspace was decorated with large pictures of Nancy Pelosi wearing a plunging swimsuit. The next day, Justin Wells, Mr. Carlson's top producer, called Grossberg into his office. She said, to ask whether Maria Bartiromo was having a sexual relationship with Kevin McCarthy. Mr. Carlson's staff joked about Jews and freely deployed a vulgar term for women, according to the complaint. Later that fall, it said before an appearance on the show by Tudor Dixon, the Republican candidate for Michigan governor, Mr. Carlson's staff held a mock debate about whether they would prefer to have sex with Ms. Dixon or her Democratic opponent, Governor Gretchen Whitmer. After Ms. Grossberg complained about harassment from two male producers on the show, she was pulled into a meeting with Human Resources and told that she was not performing her duties according to the complaint. So, Nick, those are some serious allegations. We wanted to kind of go through them point by point based on your reporting. Could Fox face separate litigation based on accusations of a toxic workplace culture alone?
Well, she has made a variety of claims and is seeking different kinds of redress in these two different lawsuits. One's in New York in federal court. One's in Delaware in the same court where the Dominion case is playing out. She is alleging rampant discrimination, sex discrimination, and retaliation. If you, you know, take the complaint at face value, it's an insult to Animal House to compare it to Animal House. It's just rampant misogyny and everyday sexism, some weird cross between Mad Men and Breitbart or something like that. And I think if it's taken at face value, it really shows that what Fox has claimed is a new culture at the company in the wake of Bill O'Reilly being canned for sexual harassment and Roger Ailes being pushed out is not really a new network at all. In fact, that the culture hasn't maybe changed that much. So I think she's introducing that in a very powerful way here.
Sarah.
Meet the new boss. Same as the old boss. And, you know, I find myself conflicted with stories like this. Because on the one hand, I'm inclined to believe that Fox News TV Radio Rwanda is a sickening cesspit. That's easy. It's their brand. Brand down, like Donnie Deutsch would say on My Filthy Morning Habit. On the other hand, and this is not victim shaming, Abby Grossberg? That's a lot. Is Fox News TV Radio Rwanda misogynistic as all fuck? I have no doubt of it. But the question is she saying that she was manipulated into lying for her bosses out of some professional pressure? Was it sexual pressure? Was it a need to stay on the team? And now that she has lied in that deposition, which she admits, is she trying to evade a possible false pleading charge? I guess we won't. I guess we don't know. But, well, I guess it's not going to bring the whole that whole house down, but. And then, you know, I'm sure they're not reporting on it over there either. Ixnay on the lawsuit lay. On day a say a minion day. Not a pickle. Yes, Emilio, I agree. Tucker Carlson is such a Dixon. That's what the eggplant emoji's for. And here it is, Wednesday. And somehow or another, Nitwit Nero is still walking free. Now, given that he's going to be having a rally at Waco, like we talked about toward the end of the program yesterday, it would be awfully fun, but it can't happen. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hmm. could it be that perhaps Greg Asbot has offered some sort of shelter to Julius Geezer in Texas? Some kind of sanctuary, sanctuary. And that's why he's going to Waco?
They can arrest me in Waco just like they just like they attacked those poor Branch Davidians.
David Koresh. Have I just lost it? Because I could see Greg Asbot promising Nitwit Nero that he'd protect him. And that if they tried to extradite him from Texas, no, it can't possibly be. Except that it's not so insane that it didn't enter the realm of possibility. Hearing from Kay, hey Kay, leaving the church, this reminds me of the stories of why my mother left the church and religion and has now designated herself as an LGBTQ+ friendly nurse practitioner, and also why she's trying to advise my half-brother against becoming a Catholic for her girlfriend. It is used for evil and for control. On to the state police. Cops committing crimes, deleting evidence, and getting away with it. Here's my pretend shock face. Criminals with badges. That's all the damn cops are, Kay says. And where Fox is concerned, I know First Amendment and all, but what the fuck will it take to get them off the air? Adding, I'm inclined to believe every word she said just based on how Fox operates. Yeah. And like I said, I'm conflicted, Kay, because I'm inclined to believe, too. But I'm wondering how long that shit went on. And she blinked at it. Turned a blind eye. Not as good as a wink to a blind man. Say no more, say no more. Am I just entirely in the wrong air? It feels like there might be a little bit of nuance floating around in the air. True enough, Randy Radar, at least Koresh's Bible was right side up. as to the Dominion lawsuit, Fabio says, I'm hoping for the Dominion $1.6 billion lawsuit really hurts Fox, and then that it opens the way for the $2.6 billion lawsuit by Smartmatic. Now, I don't hold out much hope for Trump, Bannon, Flynn, Meadows, Eastman, et al. Ever being brought to justice. But those two lawsuits could go a long way toward discouraging, maybe even putting so-called news outlets like Fox, Newsmax, OAN, out of business. Nature abhors a vacuum, Flavio. I know you know that. And so something would just... Remember the Arafat rule? The Israelis hated Arafat, and they wanted to get rid of Arafat, and they got rid of Arafat, and what they got was a shit ton worse. So there's that. Because there's a hunger in this country among a certain segment of the population for right-wing content. I mean, that's why people tune in to the rickety podcast of that guy who looks like rancid hot dog water smells. Or neo-maxi-zoom dweeby Ben Shapiro. Oh, just a second. Hold on here. Y'all, I'll be back in a minute. I'm getting called into the house. I think Annette needs something because she's babysitting right now. The kids are gone. Stand by. Sorry. Back in a few. Sorry about that. Like I said, Annette's watching the babies. And sometimes an almost six-year-old and an almost 10-month-old are too much for one middle-aged woman to handle. So she just needed it. Needed a sec. Yeah, blows my mind. Little Junie, it will be 10 months in April. She's wearing 18-month clothing. We grow them big around here. But, oh, what a delight they both are. But when you gotta, chase one and change the other, well, complicated. So, anyway, hopefully it won't happen again, but it might. Now, what I was saying earlier, Nitwit Nero, the grand jury the Manhattan grand jury meets on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. For some reason, they did not meet today, and nobody really knows why. Theoretically, they meet tomorrow. He's not going to be arrested, but Lord God grifter that he is, he's raked in probably, well, at least enough to make the interest payment on his bad Russian debts. You know, one email told his minions that they needed to push back against the
witch hunt.
And they also somehow he asks for the maggots to sign a petition against the hush money that he paid to Stormy Daniels.
The Trump president 2020 Trump for president 2024 campaign is compiling millions and millions of petition signatures from Americans like you condemning these threats of a possible arrest.
And they're so goddamn dumb they believe it. And the petition link takes you, of course, to the donation link.
That's the petition we want you to sign with your credit card number.
Thank you. That's really kind. Amazing, isn't it, how a one-woman show outshines the billion-dollar network? Come on, folks, give the horn. And thank you for saying that, and I hope folks will take you up on it because, well, we're at 8:20 to go. And, God, now it's property taxes. I got to get those out of the way before I leave. Again, I pay more in property taxes than a coal company does on 1,000 acres of unmined coal. Weird how that works. And this from Steve in New York, First Amendment. This is not going to be popular here, but there are some things we need to consider. First Amendment. I understand the notion to say, well, Canada and another country bans hate speech, and they have free speech. Why not here? I hate the incitement of violence, whether it's a specific group or in general. I'll take our absolutist view of free speech over other countries any day, but we don't have an absolutist view of free speech. Actually, you've got an example of that non-absolutist view in the stack today. While Canada has something called the Charter of Rights and Freedoms akin to the Bill of Rights, national and provincial governments are able to invoke the notwithstanding clause, which allows a provisional or national government to suspend it without a vote of Parliament for up to 5 years. The UK, for instance, has no written constitution. Parliament is sovereign so that it can suspend the right to free speech at its whim. Germany, which bans hate speech, essentially as it regards Nazi speech, and good for it as doing the right thing, Germany mandates a tax earmarked for religious entities, such that taxes go to various Catholic, Protestant, etc., Christian sects, as well as various other religions. I get what you're saying, Steve, but there is something fundamentally wrong. Believe as one wishes. There is something fundamentally wrong, however, about making a whipping boy or girl or non-binary person out of marginalized communities. Not just mine, but any marginalized community. It's toxic and it's exhausting and it's wrong. Why should pumping hate into the marketplace of ideas be a welcome thing? Why do we have to have hate speech in order to protect non-hateful speech? Is it because the idea of hate speech is somehow fluid? If you take, for instance, Michael Knowles a couple of weeks ago, there's nothing fluid. There's no gray area in calling for the eradication of trans people. That's just straight up genocidal behavior. And sticking ism on the back of it doesn't make it less so. That just makes it transparently obvious the legerdemain that is at work. I mean, the fact that there were 122 bills, there have been 122 bills introduced this year banning medical treatment, and there's in 50 states. That's more than two per state. That's like, ban the medical treatment. No, really. Ban it a lot. It's exhausting. That's all I can say. It's the same word over and over again. And when I said there is no free speech absolutism in the United States, actually, not one example, but two. So, Project Veritas, and you remember who they are, they specialized in doctored, skeevy, selectively edited pieces that make people appear to say what they weren't saying. They first came to fame with Shirley Sherrod. Remember when James O'Keefe basically slimed her and the Obama administration threw her under the bus? Mm-hmm. Well, I think James O'Keefe has been bounced from Project Veritas, but it's kind of like what happens if Fox News TV goes, Radio Rwanda goes away. Something will fill the void. And so, with James O'Keefe, or with Project Veritas, there is a case ongoing, and prosecutors want to see the more than 1,000 documents that were gathered as a result of search warrants issued to determine how Project Veritas got hold of a diary that allegedly belongs to Ashley Biden, the daughter of the President of the United States. There have been no criminal charges. Project Veritas claims that they're journalists, they aren't, and that they were just engaging in an ethical and legal process of gathering news. And Project Veritas does not want to give up the stuff. Well, U.S. District Judge Annalisa Torres is presiding over the inquiry and brought in a former federal judge named Barbara Jones for consultation or to make recommendations. And Barbara Jones, former federal judge in Manhattan, said that, there's a qualified evidentiary privilege for information gathered during a journalistic investigation. But Barbara Jones says it's not absolute. And said that it's largely invoked when it involves confidential sources. In short, Barbara Jones recommended to U.S. District Judge Annalisa Torres that she, Judge Torres, allow the prosecutors to view the more than 1,000 documents. And she said, yes, the crimes that were alleged to have happened in the application for the search warrant, the affidavit, are not protected by the First Amendment or journalistic privilege. Among the crimes listed were conspiracy to transport stolen property across state lines, interstate transportation of stolen property, and possession of stolen goods. In her report to the court, Jones said that the protections that journalism has do not suggest that people are free to commit unlawful acts simply because they are journalists. And remember, early in the history of Project Veritas, Project Truth, the irony, they got busted in Louisiana, I think New Orleans, posing as phone company workers, yeah. And the research department will have to get on this. Posing as phone company workers or maybe cable company workers, something, and trying to bug a target, a targeted individual's office. Ultimately, James O'Keefe said, yeah, hey, we couldn't actually confirm that it was Ashley Biden's diary. And that somehow it's no harm, no foul because of that. Back to email for a minute. From Kay, the orange asshole petition. Yeah, I'm sure a petition by a criminal telling the investigators to let him off will go real far. Also, is it just me worrying that they're starting to get cold feet? I don't think it's just you. And the funniest thing, Kay, is that, like I said, the sign the petition link went to the Give Nitwit Nero Money page. Petition Schmission. I opened my spam filter the other day on my email account, and it's like, it's nothing but Trump emails. It was like scroll, 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 scroll. Damn. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Barbara, so very much. Barbara just got us down to 790. Thank you so, so much. Thank you. And then I got thereafter, and I got a note from Ralph saying, I've got a $25 challenge in honor of Admiral Akbar's It's a Trap. Because Ralph wrote earlier and said, you know, you were talking on Monday about how the maggots think it's a trap. We need an Admiral Akbar reference. Yeah. Let's see here.
Standing by.
Gray leader standing by.
Green leader standing by.
Luck S falls in attack positions.
May the force be with us.
May the force be with us.
We've got to be able to get some kind of a reading on that shield, up or down. Well, how could they be jamming us if they don't know if we're coming?
Break off the attack. The shield is still up.
I get no reading.
You sure? Pull up! All craft, pull up!
Take a base of action. Green group, stay across the holding sector of each other.
Admiral, we have enemy ships in Sector 47.
It's a trap!
It's a trap!
Fighters coming in.
Oh, good. Good call, Ralphs. It's a trap. So, anyway, thank you for the challenge. It's a trap challenge. The Admiral Akbar challenge is on the table this evening. It's a trap. Thank you. But again, thank you, Barbara. Barbara says, Project Veritas, O'Keefe staged the phony pimp and teen prostitution ring that destroyed the Acorn organization. Yeah, a good group. And early on, people fell for it. And this from Kim in New York. We're being manipulated, re Trump's indictment. A rant. Hi, Kim. Regarding indictment watch, why don't we realize that Trump is playing us? The reality is nobody knows if or when the grand jury might indict him. Could be this week, could be in 2 months. The rumor was started by Trump himself. Why? I'm not sure. To foment protests? To intimidate Alvin Bragg? Whatever the reason, there's been no evidence that an indictment is coming this week. Meanwhile, we've all been whipped up into a frenzy waiting each day for an announcement. The media are the most to blame. If you read Twitter, the wags like Mueller, she wrote, and legal know-it-alls like Harry Littman et al. Have been adding fuel to this fire. It's truly maddening that we continue to be manipulated like this. I'm tearing what's left of my hair out. Kim, don't do that. That's Kim in New York. I don't disagree. It's like coverage of a national disaster. Once you've said there is an earthquake, you've said pretty much everything there is to say. It's not even a 20-second reader. But instead, the Journalism Parachute Brigade lands in amongst the ruin and starts filing disaster pieces. We've seen it here, the Upper Big Branch disaster. I mean, the recent earthquake in Turkey and Syria. The only reason to follow up, not that people are being forgotten, but was to note the mounting death toll. But that is not how broadcast media work. And it is, like I said, talking to Todd yesterday evening, it's catnip. They can't resist it. Oh, and back to the Project Veritas story for a second. Ashley Biden had been living at a friend's place in Delray Beach, Florida, back in the spring of 2020 and had stored her diary there. The Project Veritas staffer flew to Florida and then shipped the items to New York. And Project Veritas paid the two thieves, I mean, that's what they were, in Florida, $20,000 apiece. Such slime. And then the other First Amendment story. At first blush, it's like, huh? And what I mean by that, a case has come before the Supreme Court of the United States over, and I'm not kidding, poop jokes. Because nothing is funnier, even for full-grown adults, than poop jokes. The case is styled Jack Daniels versus VIP Products. And the folks at Jack Daniels, by the way, this is a good time to just sort of remind us all, Jack Daniels didn't know jack shit about distilling whiskey. It was all taught to him by a black man whose name was not Jack Daniel. Well, Jack Daniels is upset at VIP Products because VIP Products is the second largest maker of dog toys in the United States. I understand the inclination at this point to go, what? Because I did. Well, VIP Products have made a... God, you know, they made a product, a dog toy, that looks somewhat like a Jack Daniels bottle and is named Bad Spaniels Old Number 2. See, it's a poop joke. Bad Spaniel, the Old Number 2 on your Tennessee carpet. And this case has, I kid you not, made it all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States. And it's a free speech case. It's a head-on collision between the Lanham Act, which governs trademark, and the First Amendment. Because Jack Daniels says that VIP Products, with their Bad Spaniels Old Number 2 on your Tennessee carpet dog toy, is too similar and might mislead consumers to think poorly of Jack Daniel's Old Number 7. Which on its face sounds ludicrous. But, well, the issues are significant enough that they have gone to the Supreme Court, and at issue is the extent to which the First Amendment right to parody. Trump's, I hate that word now. The Lanham Act's, what? Stated congressional intent to protect trademark and create a stable system of commerce. If, for instance, you recall, and this is a double, this is layered. You remember Eddie Murphy in the movie Coming to America, which was later proven to have been an idea that was stolen wholesale from Art Buchwald? Well, in Coming to America, there's the scene where the fast food joint guy who hires Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall chases a photographer from McDonald's away because, see, they're McDonald's and we're McDonald's. They have a Big Mac and we got a Big Mick. Two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese. But they have a sesame seed bun and my bun don't got no seeds. I think that's how it went. And the sad thing is, this will probably wind up fucking up free speech somehow. And the standard, the Lanham Act standard, the trademark standard, is whether the use of a trademark, and the Lanham Act, by the way, specifically exempts news organizations, journalistic undertakings from its purview. So that you know, news reporting can be done without threat of persecution, whatever, from the trademark holder. But the standard is whether the usage is likely to cause confusion. Because I don't know about you, but I have a hard time differentiating a poop joke from a bottle of Jack Daniel's Old Number 7. And so it will be interesting, because remember that they get all our most puissant dread sovereign supreme Catholic majesties get all worked up about the religion aspects contained within the First Amendment. But it's kind of not so much where the free speech aspect, I mean, yes, we all understand that corporations are people, my friends, human beings. But, well, free speech is certainly an issue if Hobby Lobby doesn't want to pay for slut medicine. That was what Rush Limbaugh called it, remember? Have another pineapple, Rush. That's because they've got a sincerely held religious belief, and hey, yay, yay. But we don't know, no, it's not entirely clear how they'll rule on this. I wouldn't bet money on this, but I'm guessing they come down in favor. See, it's tough though because it's liquor, and it's well known that, you know. Well, wait a minute. If they were Southern Baptist judges, that Jack Daniels would just lose. I don't know how it's going to go with our most puissant dread sovereign supreme Catholic majesties. But again, the First Amendment is not absolute. So it's just a matter of kind of wait and see. Sorry, somebody was on the stress line, and the broadcaster was not connected. And I'm waiting to see why. That'd be another magnificent tech issue. Great. Need that. And interestingly, there was another example of limitations on free speech that happened during a legislative hearing down in Texas. Do you know what they were debating? Here we go again. Well, the maggots brought in this witness, a doctor, whose entire testimony was just filled with slurs. In particular, using the slurs for trans people. Repeatedly calling trans people perverts and pedophiles. One of the Texas legislators who was questioning him and was disagreeing with him repeatedly asked him to stop. And then a Republican, I guess the committee chair, stepped in and said, you know, we don't do that here. Answer the question. And he went on, and then he was reprimanded again, at which point the doctor said, now bear in mind, he had not been threatened with removal. He had not been admonished that his freedom of speech would be in any wise infringed upon while he was baselessly calling people several different vulgarities. But when he got called down the second time, the doctor said, well, that's bullshit. At which point, the guy at the head of the committee, a Republican no less, said, that's it. Will the sergeant at arms please escort the witness from the room? So you can hurl any number of vituperative insults at a marginalized group of people in Texas, but if you say bullshit inside the four walls of the legislative chamber, even in Texas, where there are bulls and there are shit, oh, that's a bridge too far. And you're just going to have to, no, you got to leave. And this guy travels the country doing, but maybe he'll learn now not to say something is bullshit in front of the delicate, dainty ears of straight, white, Christian Texas men. Kind of says something, doesn't it? And by the way, we are moving toward the halfway point of the program. I'm rebooting the stress line, hoping that it will self-correct. But Ralph's has a $25 challenge on the table. Remember, it's the Admiral Akbar It's a Trap challenge. Thank you, Ralph's. And that would get us down to $740 in fundraising to go. Darlene in Connecticut Hi, Darlene. Lovely state you got there. Darlene in Connecticut says, sorry, I'm just... There. Darlene says, Jack Daniel's company has no sense of humor, and if people didn't make the connection before, they will now with this stupid lawsuit. And it gives those six demented justices another opportunity to fuck more shit up in this country. Yeah. You're not wrong. I don't... They can't help themselves. They are perpetual screw-ups. In the name of Jesus! Because remember, it is prayer meeting Wednesday. Amen and amen. Kay says, you know it's bad when even the Texas legislature thinks you're going too far, and even though he said, we don't do that here, to the doctor using slurs, you know deep down he agreed with every one of them. Sigh. I'm so exhausted. That word's carrying a lot of freight these days, isn't it, Kay? But anyway, like I said, fundraising, and please, like and subscribe, and leave a comment. The nice ones are really uplifting. Thank you. Oh, Theo, that's so nice. Little tweet. Robin's a treasure, and during any given three-hour show, she's well-informed, pointed, blunt, funny, outraged, and profoundly gracious in rapid succession. I don't know how she maintains it, but I'm a devoted listener, caller, and contributor. Worth your time. That's how Tell the Friends and Neighbors works, Theo. Thank you so much. Oh, and the... apropos of nothing but the horror in this country, East High School in Denver, Colorado, saw yet another school shooting. Seventeen-year-old Austin Lyle went to school this morning and shot two members of staff. He had apparently had problems in the past and was under an agreement to be patted down every day when he went to school because of threats. The Denver PD said he was armed and dangerous when he left the school. The cops said he might be driving a 2005 red Volvo XC90. And the cops have not gotten the handgun yet. The two faculty members whom he shot are in serious condition. One could talk to authorities. The other one was in surgery. The student was required to be patted down at the beginning of each school day. And during the pat down this morning, he pulled his pistol out and shot them. The school officials were cagey about the background, but he was on a safety plan because of previous behavior. East High School's had a time of it. A month ago, a 16-year-old kid was murdered near the school. and the mayor of Denver is saying taking the cop, the resource officer, out of the school was a mistake. But of course, it has nothing to do with the easy availability of, you know, firearms. It's almost 2 years to the day since the mass shooting at King Soopers grocery store in Boulder. 10 people died for the Second Amendment that day. And will continue to die. Because Republicans don't give a fuck. It's not complicated. Then there's spring break in Florida. In Miami Beach, the city officials are sort of at sixes and sevens as to what to do because spring break has once again turned violent down there. Just in the last few days, two people were murdered. And Miami Beach declared a state of emergency. They were not murdered by drag queens or the LGBTQ community. They were murdered. Well, never mind. Miami Beach Mayor Dan Gelber is sick and tired of it and said, we're not going to arrest our way out of it. We're going to have to just stop spring break from happening here. That's the best thing we can do. But it's a very hard thing to do. The cops, they say, are outnumbered. No one takes a day off during spring break. They're all here. We have officers from the county, from other cities, officers on horseback, officers on ATVs. Sometimes school district police are here. We have goodwill ambassadors walking around in shirts to try to help people follow the rules and make good choices. Again, that's Mayor Gelber. And at the peak of spring break, there are as many as 470 cops patrolling Miami Beach, out on the streets. There had been over 320 arrests before the state of emergency was declared, but, well, the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian, Republicans, including Governor Ron Monkey Up DeSantis, again, have no interest in making sure that, well, put it this way. As of this past Monday in Miami Beach, they had confiscated 71 guns. They confiscated four of them after the shooting on Friday that killed one and left another maimed. Early Sunday, another person was killed, so they got another gun. And see, everything turns into a capitalism question. Because Miami Beach would really like to stop having all the mayhem and the violence, but the money's really good. It could prompt an economic downturn if the mayhem doesn't continue. And when it's capitalism, the money's going to win. They had an emergency meeting of a city council and considered imposing a curfew. But the owners of a nightclub called M2 threw a fit about that. The M2 nightclub says, listen, all the 5,000 people who follow us, why don't y'all come to the meeting and tell the mayor to keep South Beach open? And this curfew is BS. I bet you Scary Jerry knows something about it. Almost certainly. Bound to have heard it. Well, I don't know. Scary Jerry's busy being a carny right now. And I'm not terribly into celebrity news, but I got to make mention of this. Dick Van Dyke is a national treasure. He's 97 years old. And he recently crashed his car and bloodied up his face on rain slick roads in Malibu. Because he was out driving around. 97. No arrests were made. He's apparently okay. But the state of California is, the DMV is recommending that he retake his driver's test. And it's not his first problem with a car. It was an Lexus LX500. A little less than 10 years ago, you know, when he was 88 or something, the Jag he was driving caught fire. Not his fault. And I don't necessarily know why it's being reported on. And I feel like this is a little bit ageist. He's in great shape for 97. And a good man. And a spoonful of medicine, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. That was unnecessary. TMZ said neither drugs nor alcohol were involved. Well, that's good. He was treated at the scene. He wasn't taken to the hospital. Friend picked him up and took him home. Now, he skidded into a gate in wet conditions in Malibu. And since, we were talking about the breathless anticipation of the indictment of Trump a minute ago. And while those of us on this side are sitting around going, nothing's going to happen to him. Or, our dear friend Kim in New York, who is literally tearing her hair out. Well, not literally, but sick of it. And some of the fire was fueled by the sight of cops putting up barricades outside the district attorney's office, outside the courthouse, that kind of thing. Well, just because we're being kind of calm about it doesn't mean that that the maggots are. CBS News said that intel sources are saying that the threats are from violent domestic extremists. I love that reference, from violent domestic extremists. We can't even identify which side they're on because it might hurt their little snowflake feelings. But they aren't deeming the threats to be credible. They've seen messages like that indicting Trump would be a red line for civil war, and that there would be more violence than on the 6th day of January 2021 than the terrorist attack on the Capitol. They're so manipulable. Alvin Bragg saying, we do not tolerate attempts to intimidate our office or threaten the rule of law in New York. Our law enforcement partners will ensure that any specific or credible threats against the office will be fully investigated and the proper safeguards are in place so all 1,600 of us have a secure work environment. Good. Oh, and Jim Shorts, jacket, Jim Jacket Off Jordan demanded that Alvin Bragg come to Washington and testify. Alvin Bragg has responded, saying in the politest possible terms that that Jim Jacket Off Jordan should do coitus with himself. And it's funny because Alvin Bragg was not particularly inspirational when he took over from Cy Vance. And we saw what happened with his lead prosecutors for Nitwit Nero bailing out and saying, nope, can't do this. He's not serious. And then lo and behold, here we are. And again, it's the same thing again. Report the story, move on. But that is apparently impossible for the journalism industry. Ah, well, I knew Scary Jerry would know something. Dan Gelber is a racist putz. In fact, the entire South Beach Justice Industrial Complex is racist. I knew one of the officers that busted Andrew Gillum. The shooting was alcohol and testosterone related. Mayor Gelber wants to convert South Beach to condos. He's a Republican trying nothing and complaining. Alcohol and testosterone. Yeah. Thank you, Kim. Dick Van Dyke. Kim says, amen, Robin. Those were my thoughts, too. It's ageist. Just because he's 97 doesn't mean he needs to take the driving test again. He probably drives better than some 35-year-olds. Accidents happen. Skidded on slick roads into a gate. That is a far cry from, say, the Texas, the traveling nurse, the Texas woman, who barreled her Mercedes-Benz head-on into a family in L.A. and killed people. I'm pretty sure she was drunker than Adams off Ox. And it was like her fifth DUI or something. And a little bit of an update. Remember the story from yesterday about the dude from Today News Africa? Well, we know a little bit more about that story now. Remember, Corinne Jean-Pierre dressed the guy down because he interrupted and started complaining that he wasn't getting to ask as many questions as he wanted to. I'd never heard of Today News Africa. There's a reason for that. You remember Jeff Gannon or Jim Gurk? I think because I remember he was Jimmy Jeff Ganny Gurk back during the Bush administration, reign of error. And he was allowed into the White House press briefing room with only the sketchiest of credentials. And claimed to work for Talon News Service. Well, apparently another maggot snuck in the form of this guy. Today News Africa has one writer, and it's this guy. Well, when he got dressed down, and the man's name is Simon Ataba, who apparently is a real piece of work. Once he got dressed down by Corinne Jean-Pierre, he was immediately invited to come over and share his sad story of persecution and trauma with Guardian of Masculinity, testicle-toasting Tuckio Rose Carlson.
And that First Amendment says that I have the right to access my job, and the press secretary doesn't need to like me, date me, marry me, have two black children with me. She doesn't need all that.
Meanwhile, the racist, testicle-toasting Tuckio Rose Carlson is just sitting there. Oh, he's giggling. He's got a he looks like an emoji. Big wide open mouth and squinted eyes. Because, you know, that's funny. Because what Simon Ataba was doing was making sport of Corinne Jean-Pierre, because Corinne Jean-Pierre is married to the CNN correspondent Suzanne Malveaux, and they have a daughter together. She doesn't have to marry me, have two black children with me. That would be a self-hating black man there, in case anybody was wondering. Yeah, come on. Simon, would you like to be on Tucker Carlson's show this evening? You're not gay, are you? And it was so bad that Corinne Jean-Pierre looked at the cast from Ted Lasso, who were visiting to talk about mental health issues, and said, when he started his shenanigans, it's fun times, welcome guys. And other members of the press corps got after Simon Ataba, who said, you can't keep discriminating against some people in the briefing room because you don't like them and you don't like their questions. At which point another reporter said, yeah, the rest of us are here too, pal. The press corps is tired of dealing with this. And eventually, Zeke Miller from the AP said, first, a moment of personal privilege here. I just want to express our apologies in the press corps to the folks watching at home for the display we saw earlier. Our responsibility is to them. We're here to ask questions on their behalf to hold their government accountable because they can't all be here. You know, this isn't about us. I haven't read Mr. Miller's work, but kind of glad he said that. And one suspects this was all just a setup to get on. Is my paranoia streak just running wild? Or can you see a producer say, at Tuckio Rose's show, getting hold of this clown and say, yeah, listen, give her some shit, and then we'll bring you on, and you can make gay jokes about her. Good times, right? Because I can see that happening. Bill Falafel Boy O'Reilly used to send his little trained imp, Jesse Waters, out to harass people and create stories where no stories existed. Why not? Ooh, Scary Jerry sent me a picture of the stage for the music fest that he's totally stoked about. God, that's just... Simon Ataba. He'll probably have a job anchoring a show at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda pretty soon. And this is a surprise. Remember the pleasant surprise, well, kind of pleasant surprise we got from North Dakota last week? where the North Dakota Supreme Court said, nope, you can't ban abortion entirely because the mother's life does matter. And they are, can be, abortions can be medically necessary, and it's protected under the Constitution of North Dakota. Well, lo and behold, knock me over with a feather. Yesterday, the Supreme Court of the state of Oklahoma struck down the criminal law on abortion in that state. And again, held that the state constitution of Oklahoma protects a woman's right to abortion in the case of a life-threatening situation. Writing for the majority, the opinion says that Oklahoma's constitution has, quote, an inherent right of a pregnant woman to terminate a pregnancy when necessary to save her life. And then went so far as to say, and what constitutes medically necessary is entirely a matter of a doctor's own medical judgment. So they struck down the criminal abortion statute, but they left elective abortion bans, that ban in place. And this is, of course, because the state of Oklahoma is up to its eyeballs in lawsuits, because the fiscally conservative Republicans wanted it that way. An organization called Oklahoma Call for Reproductive Justice has sued, saying that the bans violate the state constitution's right of due process, right of equal protection, personal autonomy, and bodily integrity. That from the Brennan Center for Justice. Tamia Cox Ture, co-chair of Oklahoma Call for Reproductive Justice, issued a statement saying, Oklahomans deserve better. Our state Supreme Court's decision leaves abortion care out of reach for many, especially those who already face systemic barriers to medical care. So that makes North Dakota, Oklahoma, and even South Carolina stand where their Supreme Court has intervened. On the other hand, however, Idaho said, their Supreme Court said, nope, Idaho's constitution doesn't protect a woman's right to have an abortion, even if it kills her, the pregnancy. And what, you know, these are Republican majorities, okay? And again, what they're doing is trying to protect their own, the dumbasses in their own party. From killing any hope of further electoral success. Because eventually women will get sick of this. And they just will. And so here we are coming up on the third hour of the program. We are at 780 to go in fundraising. $25 challenge on the table that could get us down to 730. And it would be great if the Admiral Akbar It's a Trap Challenge, courtesy of Ralphs, could be met. Thank you again, Ralphs. And let's run over to the Skype line and check in with Scott. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Robin.
How are you?
You know what? I'm fine, thank you. You know what else?
Ant farming. What are you doing? Ant farming.
No. I love Dick Van Dyke.
Same. National treasure.
In recent days, I have discovered that you can watch virtually all of the Dick Van Dyke Show episodes via YouTube.
Really?
And there's usually only one or two commercials, so it's not it doesn't, you know, grate on your nerves and stuff. But that was such a well-done show.
Oh, yeah.
And I have in my hot little hands a CD from, like, 2008, Dick Van Dyke and the Fantastics. The CD is called Put It on a Happy Face, and it has 14 or 15 songs. And it's autographed. I won it on a call-in thing on a program that he was on back around that time.
Were you the 12th caller?
I was the caller with the right answer. And it wasn't really a question sort of thing. He was talking about the early days of his career when he was based in New York City and doing an early morning TV show. This is back in the 50s on CBS television. And I think he was the replacement host. You know, for years, CBS was not a success in the morning up against the Today Show. And they threw everything. And when I say everything, into that time slot over the years in multiple attempts. At one point, Walter Cronkite hosted it. And it was co-hosted by a puppet of a lion named Charlemagne. You can look all of this up. I wouldn't make this
wow.
up. Wow. Well, anyway, Jack Parr was the host of it, of the thing. And Cronkite did the news. It was just one clusterfuck after another. Well, somewhere along the way, Dick Van Dyke tried his hand, and he didn't do any better. But he was talking about his early days in starting out in showbiz. And he was trying to remember the name. Remember old-fashioned drugstores would have a little luncheonette? And
oh, yeah, lunch counter, sure. Back.
He couldn't remember the name of the place where all of the rising stars of tomorrow would hang out. You know, people like Buddy Hackett, Lenny Bruce, of all people. And he mentioned some others. And I happened to know the name of the place. So I sent an email in, and he was blown away that anybody would actually know the name of the place. And he said, take my name and address. I want to send him a prize. And it turned out to be this lovely little a cappella CD with Dick Van Dyke and his friends.
Well, how wonderful.
Isn't that great? What was the name
of the place?
Hanson's. H-A-N-N-E-S apostrophe S. Hanson's. Legend has it, this was back when Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis were still a team, back in the 50s, early 50s even. Rumor has it that Jerry Lewis had intimate knowledge of a young woman in the back booth at Hanson's. I'm just saying what I've read. I wasn't there. I don't know. And I don't even know. I didn't even know.
As Michael the Savage Wiener used to say, not saying, just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Besides, Your Honor, that's not the woman. Anyway, but the CD includes the Dick Van Dyke Show theme with the lyrics that were come up with by Maury Amsterdam. Did you know there were lyrics?
No.
To that song? Yes. Yes. I wish I could play it for you.
Did you know there are lyrics to the Bonanza theme?
Dun, 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 Bonanza. That's all I know.
Now, we got a right to start a little fight. Bonanza.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I forgot all about
five foot
that.
Two, eyes of blue. Anybody seen my gal?
Wait.
We're in a fundraising hole. What are you doing to me?
That's no gal. That's Hop Sing. Anyway.
What? Give you a real, real weak cowbell for that.
The weakest tinkle ever. See your doctor. Flo Maze works. Anyway.
You're in a good mood tonight.
I've been eating Cheetos, Robin. I got a hankering for Cheetos.
That's a hell of a thing to tell me because, you know, that's on my list of no, you can't.
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting that you have a restricted... Well, anyway, but I shouldn't have gotten the big bag because.
Why don't you start?
Well, not only that, but I've had my, I have met my urging, my craving, Now, I may not eat another one.
The little bags of the white cheddar ones that are organic are totally yum.
What did I? There was something, a snack that I tried once that had the white cheddar flavor, and I didn't like it. It tasted off to me. I don't know why. Because cheddar's not a bad flavor. Why, it's the most popular cheese in this.
Yes. not in these parts.
Yep, that buddy messed me up.
Wensleydale.
Yes. Oh, that's my name.
Mr. Wensleydale. Oh, God. Monty Python.
Venezuelan beaver cheese.
Yes. Oh, the cat's eating it.
Oh, dear. It's a little runny.
No, I don't care how fucking runny it is. Bring forth the fromage de la belle France.
Yeah. Anyway, I got to stop doing this because I think of something and it gets you to thinking of something. And meanwhile, the sound of channels being changed is nearly deafening. So anyway, how are you? I'm sorry to hear about it. You know, he lives down or used to live down here part of the year. He had a condo in Coronado. Just on the other side of the big bridge.
Somehow or another, that needs to be a lyric, you know, condo in Coronado.
Yeah.
Sounds like something that would have come along late 40s, early 50s.
Back when I lived in Imperial Beach, I didn't like the grocery store down there, so I'd take the bus ride up to Coronado and shop at the, was it Ralph's? I guess it was Ralph's in Coronado. And I was in the checkout line, and two spots behind me was the actor with the very gravelly voice, the Toadie Fields type voice, Harvey Fierstein.
Oh, yeah.
Was two spots behind me waiting to check out with his goodies. And I think he was in town for some kind of performance. And I guess was staying down in Coronado, which is a lovely little place. If you ever make it out here, I want you to come down and see the sights. San Diego.
Oh, I would dearly love to.
Is a lovely place. I've been out here as long as I have, yet I haven't spent a lot of time exploring. I mean, the park space is lovely. The beaches are lovely. I haven't spent any time in the local mountains and the foothills and stuff, but even they're lovely. Go on up to Julian up in the mountains here and get you some pie. They're famous for their apple pie and stuff.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Oh, yeah, and it snows up there. It's lovely. I mean, it's like...
A very dear friend of mine here is a San Diego native, and she tells me about how beautiful it is.
Does she live there now?
No, she lives here.
Oh, here, there. Yeah. I mean, there, not here, but there.
Yeah, here in West Virginia. And meanwhile, another friend of mine, a very good lawyer, practiced here and moved out there. And he's practicing now.
Well, I the bottom line, I can't recommend it too highly because it's, or highly enough, I should say. It's just a lovely place. And the people, by and large, are nice until you go into East County and then you get into the, you know, the Trump baseball cap wearing, what do you call them, knuckle breathers and mouth draggers?
Yeah, mouth walkers and knuckle breathers.
Jesus, watch out for those folks. They're just a couple of steps away from bad times. So anyway, we didn't get to see our perp walk today.
Nor will we.
No, I know. They're going to orchestrate that thing to within an inch of its life. But I'd at least like to see him get out of the car and walk from the car to the entrance to the building. But I guess they're going to do an underground entrance, you know, depending on where they do it. I am so sick of that fucker. I just can't tell you how sick
aren't
of
you
I
just,
am.
Aren't we all? It's nauseating.
It's like a skin problem that won't go away. It's like a boil. It's like, you know, a boil with a hair growing out of it. Right there where the waistband of your BVD.
Wow. Yep. Pacific Daylight something. Time Zone dinner hour just started.
And I fucked it up royally. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
A boil. Let's repeat that. A boil with a hair growing out of it.
Yes. A gray, gnarly, sort of curly.
Which, of course, makes everybody think of the fact that Rush Limbaugh dodged the draft by claiming he had a pilonidal cyst.
He certainly did. He certainly did. Which used
don't
to
look
talk.
It up. Would, don't look at. If you have any plans in the for eating in the next 24 hours, for the love of God, do not look up pilonidal cyst, please.
And it was a talking cyst, Robin. Rush's was anyway.
Well, I mean, he talked out of his ass for his entire career, so I guess.
Well, you're on the right track. The cyst used to say, "Would somebody please get this asshole out from under me?" But that will all be in my book.
Get Don on the phone.
Yes. Where are the pictures?
Never gets old.
Casey's coast to coast. Jesus. But anyway, I was kind of looking forward to it, you know, to kind of perk up the midweek.
Sure.
Get a little, you know, watch a little news, get the anchors just to chattering about it. But no. So what's the timeline now? I guess nobody really knows, but do they have to wait till the grand jury meets again?
Well, nobody knows. I mean, one presumes that if an indictment is found, a true bill, as it were, that it would immediately be dealt with. But the story today about the grand jury not meeting was all, you know, well, he won't be indicted. Like, they're just... But see, the thing is, the shitstorm got started, and the maggots started typing their usual violent vitriol after news stories came out that, for instance, the DA's office was in conversations with the Secret Service about his Secret Service protection while he's being arrested. And it's booked, okay? There's not going to be an arrest. There won't be any tiny little bracelets. There won't even be zip ties.
Oh, man.
He wants a perp walk, but he's not going to get one.
Yeah.
They'll probably let him come through the back door. Unfortunate choice of words. given the nature of the... transaction.
Yeah, well, now there's that.
Jeremy said, Scott, be careful on Coronado Beach, because the seals will kill you, and I'm talking all three, the trainees, the professionals, and the animals.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. They do. It's weird. On one side of the little road down from Coronado to what island is that? Where did I say? the place I used to live that was not Coronado. I'm just Imperial Beach.
Yes.
And believe me, there's nothing imperial about it. I mean, unless you mean the margarine tubs washing up on the fucking beach. Jesus. It's the southwesternmost city in the continental United States. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
And in the place where I was living down there, looking out the kitchen window, you could see Tijuana from where I was. That's how far southwest I was.
Wow.
And it was not much to look at, I want to tell you. But anyway, getting back to what Jeremy was saying, the Navy installation, and I guess it is the SEALs, they do drills in the water. I mean, they'd have their little landing craft, and they would do maneuvers on the beach. It's the damnedest thing.
Well, I've got a story here that you might find interesting.
I find it fascinating already.
Well, it starts with some audio.
Okay.
Of a woman
screaming.
No, announcing a miracle. Because it's prayer meeting Wednesday, right?
Amen.
So I had 3 toes that were amputated in a terrible accident. I heard the word for creative miracles, and I thought, well, I certainly have a creative miracle that I might need. I need 3 toes to grow back. The person next to me said, do you want new toes? And I was like, well, sure. All the women got down, and they prayed over my foot, and I decided to take my shoe off to see what was happening when he said, let's see the progress or if anything's happened. And when I did, I had to grab the person next to me and say, do you see what I see? And I saw 3 toes that were forming, and now there's length to them. Tonight, I can stand on my tippy toes. Listen, do you understand? I can stand on tippy toes. No, I couldn't do that because I didn't have toes to tippy on.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, who the hell wants a pair of shoes for?
Curiously, she does not remove her shoe.
Yeah.
Let me see, because when I saw this, I immediately thought of our dear friend, an all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. He might want to run out to Missouri. Wait a minute, pay no mind to that noise.
Got to be down in, like, Springfield or Joplin or someplace.
I'll tell Steve about the miracle later. He might want to go to this church or something. Wow, this is stupid.
The
story's out of the Springfield News Leader.
I knew it.
Hi, Kanda. Because miracles are like that. There are no photos. There's no video. And Pastor John Lindell isn't answering.
Doesn't he do the pillows?
No, that's Mike.
Oh, Brother Mike.
Yeah. James River Church is the name of this gospel shop.
You got to be AFG.
And the woman you heard from is Christina Dines.
Old Frito Foot. Got corn chips for toes, though. Fritos.
Scott?
Isn't that what
Scott?
You said? Oh, 3 toes. I'm sorry. You were holding up 3 toes there, and I didn't see it.
Do you remember the wacky sticker things from the 70s? I plastered a door with them, much to the consternation of my parents. In fact, one of the wacky labels was 3 toes corn chips.
There you go.
And you don't want to know what kind of corn they were made out of.
Well, Dr. Scholl will tell you.
Right, yes.
Got his little bit of dad.
So, as the ladies prayed for Chrissy over the next 30 minutes, all 3 toes grew, and by that point were longer than her pinky toe. Within an hour, nails began to grow on all the toes.
Oh, dear, sweet, merciful Jesus. I can almost see it. Which foot was it, the left one or the right one?
Well, did you hear in the video where she said, I lost 3 toes after an amputation after a terrible accident?
Yeah, what the hell was she doing?
Well, it wasn't exactly an accident.
Oh, I see.
Because her ex-husband, Stephen Thompson...
Oh, dear.
Was her estranged husband, and he shot her toes off.
Well, that bastard.
Son of a... Yeah. That was 2015. And along with it, A Joplin, Missouri jury found him guilty of first-degree murder, two counts of armed criminal action, and first-degree domestic assault.
There you go.
So, no, not an accident. So she was willing to lie about it. Well, anyway. But the pastor in question, Pastor Brother Minister Bill Johnson, was there for the miracle, because of course he was. And this guy has also said that a friend of his miraculously regrew a kidney.
Holy shit. I better sit down now.
We had a friend that had to have his kidney removed because it was diseased. And he went in for another kind of x-ray a year later, and they found he had a brand new kidney. He was in a meeting where he was prayed for, and the Lord created that.
Kidneys. Yeah, it's always something you can't see.
Yeah, I said kidney, did I?
Take your shoes off, Chrissy. Weirdo. Maybe she can start an OnlyFans page. I hear there are a lot of weird dudes out there who will pay good pay good hard-earned Republican money for feet pictures.
I just now, does she have like an affidavit?
Really didn't want to know that, did you?
Well, no. I've heard there are people are into all manner of things, Robin. I mean, I knew a guy once. I'm not even going to go into the graphic details. No, stop me. I don't even want to think that way no more. It was not a well person. I'm telling you that. But does she have a doctor's affidavit indicating that?
No, but there is a website. That's the best part of the whole story.
Oh, dear.
When the story began to go around, somebody created a website called showmethetoes.com.
Can you see the new toes?
Well, no, they're offering a reward.
They're
just asking. No, I don't think there's a reward. Anybody with proof of the event, contact them. Yeah, this is kind of like when. Do you remember? Oh, what was his name? He used to debunk telekinesis and shit like that. He'd been a magician.
The amazing Randy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I guess this is kind of like the Amazing Randy for missing toes. I'm going to regret this, but I'm clicking the link. Show me the toes. Provide proof.
I want to see the new toes. Because they better look like factory equipment, is all I'm saying.
And we've got Pastor John Lindell here. OEM, yes. We got Pastor John Lindell here taking credit.
Amazing things are happening. People are being healed online. And this involves a creative miracle. Chrissy Thompson was shot three times in 2015 by her husband and was in a coma for 2 months. Her injuries included the need to have three toes amputated. When Pastor Bill asked if anyone needed a creative miracle, Chrissy responded that she had three toes amputated. Kelly, who serves on the prayer team, told her that the Lord wanted to grow her toes back tonight. So Kelly had...
That raises a question, Scott.
Well, it raises a couple of questions. You go first.
why does the great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky with all the powers in the universe need to make the toes grow? Why can't they just poof and there's toes?
Well, now were they shot right off? No, they were amputated.
They were amputated. Were they shot right off? What a horrible event for her, and I feel horrible. gun violence is not funny.
Where else was she hit?
I don't know, but she was in a coma for 2 months, according to Pastor John Lindell. You heard him right there.
So she was shot three times. So one took care of the three toes, and then she was
this
shot
little piggy.
Yes, yeah, survive, piggy. so long. It boggles the mind.
It's the claim of the miracle that is hilarious.
Well, what does the pastor say?
Well,
the pastor is,
let her take off her shoe, anointed where each of the toes would be, and began to pray.
Where they would be.
The skin began to change color.
I'll bet.
Pretty soon there was a pulse in the foot that she could feel. All of a sudden, Chrissy said,
I do love the Brian Eno ambient music in the background, don't you?
I do.
The synth just makes it.
Are you kidding me? And they saw the toes begin to grow.
So she
We're in the wrong racket.
She sprouted three new toes, is what you're telling me.
Well, they began to grow. They didn't, you know, they didn't just go toes.
No, that's what I mean. It was like watching chia hair grow.
Chia.
Over, you know, time lapse. They didn't just pop into existence. They sort of came out of the. Well, see, this is again why I need to know which foot and which toes. Was it missing, present, missing, present, or was it three right in a row? I mean, if it's a bona fide miracle, and listen to me say that, if it's a bona fide miracle, there ought to be a sequence of events that can be, you know, checked off as you go down the clipboard, and that constitutes what happened.
Wee, all the way home.
But Brother Bill or Reverend Bob or whatever the hell the
Pastor guy John.
Is. Pastor John. He's being a little bit evasive, I think.
I think you're right. Yes. And now the congregation are giving the preacher a standing ovation.
Oh, yes.
The warm thrill of confusion, that space cadet glow.
You watch, she'll take up a collection in the next 10 minutes. Because we got to thank the Lord for his goodness.
And then there's Reverend Bill Johnson, a faith healer.
Not to mention him, three new toes. Go ahead.
Bill Johnson is a healing and the. I don't know. I want to see Pastor Lindell's browser history. I'm just saying.
But that evening, there's multiple campuses, and one of the other campuses streaming the meeting. A woman was there who had been shot twice by her husband.
Wait, I thought she was shot three times.
Well, this is another woman at another church or campus.
Is that mm-hmm. is that how it's playing for you?
That's what I heard. I could have misinterpreted.
So toes are just being shot off all over Missouri?
Well, no. But we're running back a little bit because I may have missed a word there.
That evening, there's multiple campuses, and one of the other campuses streaming the meeting. A woman was there who had been shot twice by her husband.
Oh, man.
Wow. Anybody else glad that Jesus heals the inside as well as the outside? Yeah. And
I think the doctors
had
something to do with
amputated.
It. Yeah, no, it's her.
It happened that evening to be talking about creative miracles that we've seen. And we just began to pray just randomly for creative miracles. And specifically things like, you know, missing cartilage and, you know, stuff like that that the Lord would just make new. Organs of the body. I have a friend who was missing a kidney, and the Lord recreated a kidney, verified by x-rays, all the stuff. So we began to pray into that. And this gal was at one of the other campuses and said, I want my toes back. And so another guy was praying for her, And as I have the statement, took about 30 minutes, but they saw the bone come, wrap in flesh, completely grow out, and by morning, the toenails, everything had formed. She got three brand new toes.
Man, I haven't heard applause like that for toes since the FetLife convention.
Now, I have friends who have seen an amputated or lost foot grow back.
Not him, but he's got friends who've seen it.
Yeah.
And they're totally trustworthy.
Working our way up, starting with toes. It's all right. We're starting with toes. The woman who did the praying, her husband is a medical doctor, and he came and examined, and yep, she's got three brand new toes, so that works. I guess the person with the three new toes would know, but it's also nice to have a doctor come and check things out and say, guess what, this is for real.
And the doctor's name was? Oh.
Dr. Bombay.
Emergency,
Doctor,
come right away.
Dr. Dubious. Who the fuck knows, Robin? They don't. This is where I'm saying that they're leaving stuff out. And so the lady that did the praying has a husband who's a doctor.
Yes.
All right. So, because if you're not listening carefully, you think that the girl who who didn't have the toes.
Gal. Remember, they're gals.
The gal. The gal who didn't have the toe, who had the toes, then didn't have them, then had them again. That her husband was a doctor, but how could he be a doctor if he shot her? Unless he did stuff to generate work. There's that.
Gal, go shoot off your toes, shoot off your toes, shoot off.
This is a James River Church. Is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wonder if you should call him. Maybe
well, it's a mega church. This isn't some shitty little church in the Wildwood.
Oh.
I mean, they got a light show to put Pink Floyd to shame.
A light show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now yeah. I've got. I used to have that Bible with four columns: two on this page, two on that, or two on this page, two on that page, with four different translations of the Bible, and I don't remember Jesus ever talking about a light show. In any of the
no, or as Sam Kinison, the prophet, peace be upon him, once said, I just want to be in heaven when Jesus looks at Jerry Falwell and says, where did I say to build a water slide?
Yeah. and if you
so
want
to, if you want to enjoy these again, y'all, showmethetoes.com.
Showmethetoes.com.
And it amazes me that they were able to get that URL.
Well, I wouldn't.
Because I would expect that to be a porn site. Already.
Well, now you got a point.
It's the toe show.
.com. Because, you know, there's a lot of things after the dot that you can use nowadays. You have .tv and .whatever. I mean, which is confusing as hell to a lot of people.
Oh, it gets better. So she elaborated on what moved her to go to the James River Church.
Oh.
Okay, here's the thing. All... I definitely never took any before pictures because I was not prepared for this to happen. I never wanted to take pictures of my deformed foot. It literally looked like I was doing a hang ten with my foot.
Well,
a big toe. Here's the answer. A big toe and a pinky toe. And especially as a female, I hated it. My big toe was not doing well either. I have nothing that I should have to be proving here. I can go to my prosthetic place and get a mold that was done on me, but that means I have to go to my prosthetic place just to prove to you all that don't have faith that this is going on. Read that again and think about it. Do you not realize that this is amazing, that there's been a miracle, and I don't know why in the world you would think I would have a before picture unless it was a setup or a lie. I didn't go there praying for my foot. I actually went there begging God for my stomach to be healed from being shot in the stomach. That's not what happened. The losing... Wait. Hold on. Stop. So she went asking God to heal her stomach that got shot.
And got three new toes out of it.
And God was like, did she say toes? I could swear I heard her say toes. The losing the three toes was a side effect from medication I was on while I was in a coma. They had to be amputated, so no, there's no before pictures. I didn't want deformity before pictures in my life because I didn't know there was going to be an after. So even after she came out of the... Even after she came out of the coma, she... Right.
But now everything's good. She can stand on tippy toes.
And then we find out, because this was something I never expected to know, there are some really good realistic, really realistic toe prosthetics out there that improve function. So I would be skeptical, this one commenter says, of any after photos. Just another reason, if God really wanted to heal her, her stomach would have been fixed rather than her toes regrown. I mean, thanks for the toes, God, but I'd like to be able to actually eat a meal.
Well, I'm very happy for her. I mean, she's on tippy toes, and she's, I take it the husband's in jail.
Life.
Okay, and the pastor is getting whatever notoriety he seeks for his little mega church.
Okay, but we do need to make it clear, her estranged, violent, murderous ex-husband did not shoot her toes off. I was wrong about that. That was because of the sepsis she got in the hospital. You know, we talked about that yesterday. You know, the Candida auris.
Oh yeah.
Problem all over the country. So, it was. She may have been malpracticed on. Randy Radar suggests they had to pay off a podiatrist who originally had the site, and then she grew extra bullets. No more bullets. Again, this poor woman has been through hell.
I think the least we could do is send her a pair of flip-flops.
Oh, you prick.
I'm sorry. Well, I mean, she's... If I got three new toes, I'd want to show them off.
I think I would, too.
And I don't imagine that, you know, just...
And probably set up an OnlyFans page.
Thinking about body
mechanics. Sell pictures.
And stuff. I imagine without all of your toes on each foot...
Oh, it fucks with your balance, something fierce.
Oh, I'm sure it does. It would have to.
And in fact, it can be really weird because way back a million years ago, right before I got my job at the Gospel Voice, and that's why I had to drop out, I was invited to take ballet because they needed some guys to be able to throw the young women around stage because that's the job of a male ballet dancer.
Yeah, it's like an adagio dancer.
Yeah, pick her up, toss her around. Yeah. And there's a lot of feet stuff involved in dance. And we had to show our feet.
Show us your feet.
Yeah, and I remember the dance teacher saying, "Happy to have you, but If you were hoping this was going to become anything, it's probably not, because your feet aren't set up to be a great dancer." Proved to be prophetic, but you want to know the reason why?
It probably has to do with width or flatness or something.
No, it has to do with toes. No. This is a conversation. We're talking. It's toe talk on the horn, Scott. Stay with the program.
I'm sorry.
But
it's so obvious.
Because my big toe is shorter than my index toe. You know, the toe next to it, I call it the index toe. If the finger next to your thumb is your index finger, well, it's got to be the index toe. But the toe, and this is way too much information. Nobody wants to know this. But that, yeah. And later I found, I saw online that that means I'm descended from the pharaohs of ancient Egypt.
Wait a minute. Hold the horse. Back up. Read that last. Would the clerk read that last part once again? Your Honor, I request a brief recess.
It fucks with your balance.
No, wait a minute. Your big toe is longer than your middle toe?
No, it's not my middle toe. It's the index toe, the one next to the big toe. And my big toe is shorter than the index toe. Normal people have the toes kind of descend in size.
Your big toe is shorter than your index toe.
Yes.
And that's how it is for most of us, right?
No.
Wait a minute. My big toe is shorter than... Well, shit, let me take off my slippers. So
let's all think... The entire live listening audience of the horse sitting around with one shoe off going, God damn, what?
I feel like Gene Hackman. Do you put your feet in Poughkeepsie? Yeah, my middle toe, my index toe, is just ever so slightly longer than my big toe on my right
foot. Well, you're never going to be a dancer either.
Well, I didn't want to be. Now, interestingly, on my left foot, the index toe... Is a pretty much, I mean, within a fraction of an inch, they're of equal. Well, I was so surprised I dropped my Brannock device.
I'm ruined. How does this happen?
Oh, no.
I started the story. I thought it was an interesting story about a scam miracle. And next thing you know, my shoes are off.
Can't wait till Foot Fetish Friday.
Got it. It reminds me of what Dorothy Parker once said. I love to drink martinis, two at the very most, three and I'm under the table, and four and I'm under the host.
There you go. Here we are. Now, how many people, I want you to take a survey and find out how many were checking the length of their various foot digits.
No, nobody's going to confess to that. Just you
well,
and
I did. I mean,
I know, but we take one for the team. When I do the description for the Podbean, I put trigger warning, toe talk. And of course, there's the Zac Brown Band with their hit from several years ago, Toes. Got my toes in the water and my ass in the sand. Not a worry in the world. Something, something, something.
You know, it was weird. Early this morning, I had the TV on the public TV station, the PBS station. And like at 5:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning, they have yoga. And this lady...
Well, that's better than morning rosary.
Well, yeah, that's true. The midday novena time brought to you by Scuff No More.
I was scrolling innocently through Twitter, and lo and behold, there's some woman saying, say the rosary with me. I'm like, no.
No, uh-uh. But the lady's doing yoga, and she's talking about how many bones and joints there are in the foot or the knee or the leg or something. And I'm thinking, lady, I don't need to know that. After a half hour of that, they have chair yoga. Now, I might do chair yoga because, you know, I have no flexibility.
Standing on your head on a nice solid floor surface is a lot easier than standing on your head on a chair.
No, this is where you use the chair to keep yourself from falling over.
With my fucked up toes, I'd probably do that. I mean, you know, fall over.
Well, those weebles wobble and you don't know why.
It explains why I'm such a klutz.
But makes me pine for the days when I used to be able to visit that part of Missouri. Because my ex-wife's people were from down that way. And I'm telling you, Robin, that was a rather colorful crew.
I can imagine.
Those people were, I'm telling you, it makes me sort of sad that they're not still part of my life. I'd love to see how they all turned out. I just would. Just call it morbid curiosity on my part. Hang on, let me get a drink here. Ah, delicious. So, now you know we're talking about southern Missouri and south central Missouri. You know how long it's been since I've been down there in Springfield to get some of that Springfield chicken?
That's a thing?
Oh, yeah. Springfield Chinese cashew chicken?
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
It sounds good. I love cashew chicken.
Oh, yeah. You put Springfield chicken in your search engine. Don't put nothing about toes. Just put Springfield chicken. Listen to what I'm
It'll
saying.
It'll be a struggle, but I'll try.
Oh, God. Some of that, there was a place. What was that school? It wasn't the Bible school. It was the Southwest Missouri State down in Springfield.
I do believe.
Yeah, because that's where my ex went. Yeah, Southwest Missouri State. And the campus was surrounded by the Springfield chicken places. And I'm telling you, all it was basically, you know, like Chinese
Okay,
food.
You're not fucking with me.
No, I'm not. Why would I kid you about something like food? No. No.
Springfield-style cashew chicken, first served in Springfield, Missouri in the 1960s, involves deep frying the chicken pieces in peanut oil, Show Me State cashew chicken. It looks damn good. Scallions.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Rice, chicken.
Oh, it's wonderful. It is absolutely. And the best Asian food I ever had in my life was, it wasn't in Springfield proper. It was like off a ways. But apparently, and the people that owned the place were talking about the history of it while we were waiting to be seated. And it was apparently some fellow had married a woman overseas in Asia somewhere. And he was from that part of Missouri, and they came and opened up the place, and it was just, does a land office business with some of the best Asian food, and I can't remember the name of it to save my life.
Oh, that's one thing I'm looking forward to about being in D.C. I'm going to have to find my way to Chinatown.
I think now that I think about it, I think it was called Koi Garden, or Koi Gardens, K-O-I, like the fish.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, now that I think about it, I'm pretty sure that is what it was. Probably the best Asian food I've ever had in my life. It's so good you almost want to weep.
And not too far from where I'm going to be staying, there's like a little Saigon with some really great Vietnamese food.
Oh, yeah, that's in.
I know what I can do. I can go to Pho 75. And get pho and have it the right way.
Oh yeah.
You know where you mixed up the hoisin sauce with the sriracha. And that's a thought. Chris and I went to Pho 75. Chris in Germany. We back when I was in Philly in 2019. Best pho I've ever had. With all the trimmings.
Yeah, and the D.C. area, it's got all any type of food that you could possibly want.
Is there can you get a kick-ass bagel in D.C.?
Hmm.
Because I was looking at the map today, and I realized how close Princeton is to New York. If I get there early enough on Saturday, I might figure out a way to, you know, slip into New York and get a bagel.
I was never much of a bagel eater, but I'll bet you if my favorite deli is still around, I'll bet you get a halfway decent bagel there. I think it's called Terlitzky's at King and West Street.
Well, see, we were up there doing some ache work or something, or maybe it was a protest of some sort, and just a couple of blocks down from, you know, the executive office building, the building that looks like the Addams Family House.
Oh, yes. You're right.
A couple of blocks down, there was a really good Jewish deli, and I had some absolutely magnificent, delicious, ice-cold borscht.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, it was good. And I remember it so well because I was entirely paranoid because I was wearing a white shirt that day, and it's like, oh, I'm going to wear this.
Oh, yeah, you're going to splash it all over.
Might as well just take it and throw it in the garbage when I get back to the hotel because it's going to be covered in borscht.
Yeah, jeez.
And then I looked heavenward and said, hey, Dad, because generally if I acknowledge the spirit of my father before consuming anything, I can manage to keep food off of me. If, on the other hand, I don't, boop, smack dab in the middle.
Well, let me tell you, and I hope it's still there. I mean, if you're able to go, if you're in Alexandria, it's worth a trip. Because it is a wonderful deli, but it didn't always reside at that location, at King and West, in Upper Old Town or whatever. It originally was down by the Alexandria City Hall, and it was under a different name. And I was taken there after an anti-war protest at the Pentagon. I'd never been there before, and we all went there. Somebody in the group apparently knew about it. And I said, my God, this is good food. And it kind of became a hangout after that. But then they moved up to their other location. But I'm telling you, the sandwiches were like, you know, 4 inches thick. You know, just, and I'm sure my heart is stopping now just at the thought of it. But like your corned beef, your pastrami. Oh, dear, sweet, merciful Jesus. I mean, I'm salivating now. And I don't know that we have delis out here the way they are back east. Maybe we have them and I never found them.
I don't see a Terlitzky's. I see the Chewish Deli, a bagel shop, on King Street in Alexandria.
Is it on at King and West? How about Jerry's? It might be called Jerry's. It's been a while since I've been there.
Landmark Deli.
Well, now I'm disappointed. I'm sad now. Because that was an experience I really wanted you to experience.
Maybe I'm misspelling it.
Well, it's, let's see, you talk while I type.
No, it's still, I tried to spelling it a couple of different ways.
I'm trying a different thing. Oops. Oops. I can't even spell the name of my hometown. That's how long it's been since I've been there. All right, let's see. Yeah, it says 1406 King Street. Wait a minute.
I've got 1640 King Street for Chewish Deli.
Chewish Deli. Well, it might be under a different name. I don't know which block. Well, let's see. It's been so long, I don't know the blocks as well as I used to. Well, if it's at King and West.
King and West It's not there. No, the Rocket Grill and the Hard Times Cafe. Jewish Deli's like one, two, three or four blocks down on King.
Well, it's worth a try. I go, you know, it was worth a try to see if it's still there. Let's see, I forget that people, just as I've grown older in the last 30 years, because see, the last time I lived in that area was the very early 80s. And I've been back since to the D.C. area, and it was there every time I visited. But now it's been another 30 years since I've been back for a good visit. Not 30, but 20-some. And people move on.
Funny how it flies by, isn't it?
Yeah. Time slips away. I think there's a song about that.
I think there is.
So the lady and her toes, I'm very curious to know.
I think we know all about the toes we're going to learn.
Okay, well, I'm endlessly curious about the family dynamics of people who break bad. And the old man's still in jail. And the pastor is still raking in the big bucks. Brother Lindell, is that his name?
Yes, John Lindell, not mine.
No.
No meth pillows involved in that story.
Isn't that true that he created the pillow because he couldn't sleep because he was so strung out or something?
Yeah, sounds right.
Yeah. Now, there is your delusional twerp. And some part of me really is suspecting, can he possibly believe all of this crazy shit that he rants about? I mean, is anybody that far off the twig? And sometimes I wonder, I mean, because you look at the scamsters in the various industries where that type of practice is legendary, and on some level they've got to understand what they're up to. I mean, just to be on good terms with yourself. I mean, but can he possibly believe all that crap, or is he just doing it to enrich himself, sell more pillows? And that's the dumbest
thing. I'm voting for the latter. Of course, I mean, he did time. Mike Lindell did.
He did time?
Yeah. Pretty sure.
This was before he got into the pillow business, I presume.
Yes, this was back when he was in the meth business.
Ah, yes. Well, one might do time for that.
Mike Lindell. I want to get this right. Prison. Well, I don't. Okay, maybe I'm wrong, but this goes back to CNBC's Make It. This was published in 2017. So, Mike Lindell says there aren't many crack addicts who've become successful, but he's one of them. It can be done, people. He laughed. He created the MyPillow empire from scratch in 2004. He did it while addicted to drugs. People say all the time that's one of the biggest miracles ever.
Well, go to Google Patents and look up the MyPillow. And it's the simplest idea in the world. I can't even believe that you can patent something like that. It's basically three sizes of foam. Chunks of foam that the thing is filled with. And the thing that makes it, quote, unique is the ratio of big chunks, medium chunks, and smaller chunks. And there's something about the mix of different chunks of foam, and there may be variations in the density, like the big ones are softer than the medium ones, and the mediums are harder than the smaller ones. There's just some such nonsense. But this guy has made a fucking fortune, from which he donates to right-wing lunatics along his same ilk. And it's like, I'm going to have to start using meth if you can become a success like that.
Well, he said he's always had trouble sleeping, and he said he spent $70 on a pillow in 1977 as a 16-year-old. And in 2004, the idea for my pillow came to him in a dream. I got up in the middle of the night. It was about to, and remember, he's a crack addict at this time, so there might be an explanation here beyond the supernatural.
Yeah, he's up all hours.
I got up in the middle of the night. It was about 2 in the morning, and I had my pillow written everywhere in the kitchen and all over the house. That's a very, cracky thing to do.
Read that back. Now, he had written it, or he saw that it had been written, because there's a difference.
I got up in the middle of the night. It was about 2 in the morning, and I had my pillow written everywhere in the kitchen and all over the house.
Implying he didn't do it. Or unless he was doing sleep writing.
Crack writing.
Or crack.
And
how did he come up with a song? You'd have to be out of your mind.
There's a song?
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world. That earwormy piece of stuff.
I've never heard it, and don't say another word. The Pillow Project kept Lindell's cocaine addiction at bay, but it never went away entirely, and then I got into crack cocaine. Then his marriage broke up, he lost his house, and he almost lost his business. In March 2008, he was awake for at least 2 weeks doing crack. And he says his dealer put the word out that nobody should sell him any more crack until he got a nap.
Jesus, you're in pretty bad shape when your dealer puts the kibosh on people selling to you. Jesus, my Lord.
Well, it explains the paranoia, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, he's got that wild look in his eye, even now.
Okay, so he didn't do time, but he was a crack addict. Oh, and with just a few minutes remaining in the program.
Why did you let me go on like that?
No, Admiral Akbar, it's a trap, challenge remains on the table, which would help immensely and get us down to 7:30, which would be wonderful. And we wouldn't be a. Well. I don't think, no, somebody kicked me. No, we're not a goose egg, I don't think. But I do have one more stuff. I love it when I hear a Democrat being a total, absolute badass.
All right.
And this legislator, the state senator, because they've got a monocameral legislature in Nebraska stand, Megan Hunt is amazing. I mean, amazing. This is the woman who said, I am going to bring the pain, I am going to make your lives miserable, and nothing is going to pass this body. Remember her?
Yeah, I do.
Well, she's following through because there's a couple of bills that have been introduced, yes, on that topic. But this is what a badass looks like and sounds like. The Let Them Grow Act, it's a medicine ban, and the Sports and Spaces Act it's another bathroom fetish and a locker room fetish. And so it was introduced by State Senator Kauf, a maggot, and Megan Hunt opened a jar of whoop-ass on her. Listen and enjoy.
I don't know why I was surprised to hear Senator Kathleen Kauf open by talking about how we have to from the pain that they're in because they aren't mature or developed enough to make their own decisions. But then in a couple weeks, she's going to turn around and vote for a bill that would force 12-year-olds to have a baby, to have a whole entire human child. She thinks they're mature enough for that. Trans people are not all in pain. Trans youth are not all in pain. The ones in pain are because of the actions and rhetoric of people like Senator Kathleen Kauth. Kids know who they are, and when they get affirmation from their communities and their family members and their schools and their loved ones, as many, many trans and gender expansive kids do today, they're not in pain. You know what? They're normal. They do activities with their friends. They go to dances. They date. They start clubs and join clubs and hang out after school and have the same problems as everybody else. And that's the kind of future that I'm working toward to live in, not a future that codifies the bigotry and discrimination and hate that people like me grew up with, perpetuated by people like Senator Kathleen Kauth. She said that she hasn't talked to anybody who would want to go back to middle school, to being an adolescent, to junior high. A big reason I wouldn't want to go back to junior high and middle school is because of bullies like Kathleen Kauth.
Damn. Yeah, I want to send her roses or something. Thank you.
And that's up in Nebraska.
Yeah.
Well, I wish there were more people like her up there.
Well, we need more people like her everywhere.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's... I'm not saying that Nebraska was ever a blue state, but occasionally you could catch them in the act of behaving
decently
and responsibly and wonderfully and humanly. That's the biggest thing. Somehow or another, people have just forgotten that they're fucking human beings, you know, with an eye toward being your best self. Whatever happened to that? I mean, it seems so simple, an idea. You know, you get up in the morning and you make a you know, an active choice to be as stellar a human being as you can possibly manage, knowing full well that you're not going to, you know, bat 1,000 every time, but it's worth the effort. What happened to that? I remember when that used to be the standard way of being for most people. And even if you did fuck up, you never fucked up to the extent that a lot of these fuck ups are fucking up. What was that lady's name that she was addressing her remarks to? Kauth? Catherine?
Kathleen Kauth.
Is that a K or a C?
That's two Ks.
Oh, she's a KK. Well, one more K and she'll have a set.
I want to live in a world where I can believe that her middle name is Karen. Kathleen Karen Kauth.
Old KKK. There she goes. But you get what I mean. It doesn't take, honest to God, it doesn't take any more effort. All it takes is a little thought and being centered in your own of humanity, you know, your personhood. And yeah. we better get back into the habit. I was talking about this the other day, and I'm telling you, we're not, the world is not long for being here if we can't, at least on that basic level, more often than not, be decent humans with ourselves and with one another. I mean, it's not a heavy lift. And here's the interesting surprise, Robin, and you know this already, so it's not going to be a surprise. The more you do it, the more natural it becomes. You know?
Precisely. And I just realized I've screwed up something fierce. Someone's been on the stress line for a long time.
Well, and let me stop talking to me and talk to them.
Well, I'm going to bring them on. Hey, welcome to the program. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. I'm trying to bring my mind back to toes and food porn, and the only thing I can come up with is toe jam. Thanks, you two.
Jesus Christ. Oh. Man, that Dave really came for dinner in the Pacific Daylight Time Zone.
Dave, doing a little toe
Well,
now.
Damn it. You guys started this shit. I'm not taking responsibility for this one. Sorry, Rick.
No, that's Scott.
Midday snack.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. Rick's midday. Yes.
But you two reprobates, but I don't know what I'm going to do with you two.
I know. Well, it doesn't start. It's not a matter of intent. It just happens. And the toe story just sort of unfolded. God, I hate Verizon so much.
But no, I called in to give you guys some news.
Yes?
Right around April 9th, Christine is going back for 6 weeks.
Oh, you're breaking up, Dave. She's going where for 6 weeks?
She's going to Hines. It's a blind school the VA runs in
yes.
Chicago.
Oh, okay. Back to Chicago then. Yeah, that got garbled. Dave, you patiently waited all this time, and the connection is just horrible. I don't know why.
So I'm not going to be able to celebrate my birthday with her until after, like, the middle of June.
After she gets back?
After she gets back, but she's going to be learning Braille, and then they're going to be sending her off to a school to learn to work with a guide dog.
I was about to ask. Is that so? That's still in the mix.
Yeah, that's still in the mix, but that's a whole separate situation. And she's in the process of getting things set up so that her bills get paid, the cats get fed. But things have been going a little weird for me health-wise. I won't get into it. But let's just say food poisoning was involved. And that's why I didn't call last week. I was afraid of having an eruption on air. I hope it's as much fun as it sounds like it's going to be.
I'm sorry we missed part of what you said because the call fell apart.
I said I'm happy to hear about your trip to New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
I hope it's as much fun. I hope it's as much fun as it sounds like it's going to be.
I think it's going to be wonderful. Not looking forward to the long drive, but, you know, other than that.
Well,
the being there will be good.
And question and answers afterward and all that. Yeah, why not?
Yeah. I'm stoked. And then getting to work in D.C. again is going to be wonderful. Getting back into the swing of the ACT Act.
When I was at IU, IU is Veritas, but it actually means truth, unlike the right-wing douchebaggeries. I saw the movie Daughters in the
Dave, this drives me crazy. Let's try again tomorrow. Because this is just I don't know if it's time for a new stress line phone or just time for me to leave Verizon or. But Verizon just sucks uniformly. So, Dave, my apologies. Scott, it was great talking to you.
It was good talking to you, Robin. And I hope Dave can get back in because I'll know more about adventures in learning Braille.
Yeah, yes.
Because I had a question for Dave, but his phone crapped out or something.
Brother Deacon Asa said, I'm starting to suspect that the garbled signal might be happening on your end. And it's entirely possible. Because, you know, the ridiculous amount of money I pay to Verizon every month gets me one bar of service here.
Oh, God, that's barely 12 bucks for service.
I couldn't make a phone call if it were not for Wi-Fi dialing.
Jeez.
Or Wi-Fi assist or whatever they're calling it.
Well, this has been a weird conversation, but it's been more fun than I've had in quite a long time.
I thought it was weird and fun. Weird fun.
And it all started because I had a hankering for Cheetos. That's what started it, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm going to send a thank you note to Frito-Lay and let them know what fun they brought.
Frito-Lay, yes.
I get what you said there. All right. Well, anyway, you take care. Have a good evening. And Horn family, you have a good evening, too. You deserve it.
Yes, absolutely.
And
a good whenever it is that you're listening to the podcast and you're liking and subscribing and commenting on.
Yeah. Lay hands on Dave's device or maybe your device with your stress on there and see if you can have the... certainly, if the Lord can create three new toes, he can fix your connection issues. I mean, come on.
You're not wrong.
Get one right every now and then.
Well, Scott, make yourself a nice hot cup of coffee and have a great evening.
Have a Cheeto sandwich.
Oh, yes, that would be one. Yeah.
Ooh, peanut butter and Cheeto. That'll be great. All right.
Oh, dear God. With a little oyster sauce.
Oh, yeah. Dab a little behind each ear to feel pretty. Anyway, take care.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
All right, see ya.
See ya. You know, I'm so glad that I don't always act on all of my impulses. Just glad. And you be glad, too. Because we came perilously close to a really horrible joke. So, yes, Brother Deacon Asa, Frito-Lay, that's Marginal Trailer Queen's Jim Fuck Buddy, ain't it? I'm leaving now. Thanks, everybody. Thanks so very kindly to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks. And we always need new subscribers, y'all. Thanks so much to our a la carte contributors. Thanks for the challenge this evening, Ralphs. Maybe somebody from the overnight crew might like to meet that. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Roger in the chat room this evening. I didn't know. I never saw Steve come in. If you were there, let me know. I appreciate you. I appreciate you all. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Head on .live. Like and subscribe and comment. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. ACT Act coming soon. Please stay safe. Get your booster. Get your flu shot. Wipe down your surfaces. Help stop the spread of RSV. Wear your mask. I've got to go get a new box of masks tomorrow. Wear your mask and wash your hands and don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Got to buy that too. Meant to get out today. Didn't get out today. Maintain your social distance 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And, well, if somebody comes striding toward you talking about the three toes that she watched grow miraculously in church after she had been anointed, avoid her like the plague because, well, she probably is, probably isn't vaccinated. And you know the drill. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.